The federal government is back open after a brief shutdown overnight. Republicans and Democrats agreed to a deal that hikes federal spending by about $400 billion. Many in Congress are worried about adding so much to the debt. Yesterday, we heard from economist Stephanie Kelton, who said fears about deficit spending are misplaced. Today, we're going to hear a counterpoint from Maya McGuinness, president of the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. I spoke with her before the vote in Washington, and I started by asking what she thought of the budget deal.
This is most certainly anything but a responsible budget. So first, obviously, it's coming one third of the way through the year, which is just a sign of how incredibly broken our budgeting process is at this point. But we have near record debt levels in this country. We are approaching $1 trillion deficits every year, looking out forever. And what Congress is about to do is have a huge budget busting plan that's going to add much more to the deficit at a time that that will be bad for the economy and certainly bad for the fiscal health of the country. And it's all because they're unwilling to make any hard choices, it appears.
Do you believe that a balanced budget is the right approach, or can we have some level of debt each year in the United States?
Yeah, I don't think we need a balanced budget at all. I think what you want to do is balance the budget over the business cycle so that you have a healthy fiscal situation. And when the economy is strong, like it is now, you might want to be running surpluses so that you can borrow a lot when you have an economic downturn or a national disaster, and then you don't need to worry about deficits. But what you don't want to do is have structural deficits, which means we borrow every single year during good times and bad times, just because, frankly, nobody's willing to pay the bills. So it's not about balancing the budget, but it most certainly is about making sure that your debt's not growing faster than your economy. And that's the situation that we have right now, which is really quite damaging.
Republicans would say, and they did say, that maybe there will be greater revenue coming in because of their $1.5 trillion tax cut package, that those tax cuts might pay for themselves. Where do you stand on that?
That's just not true. There was a lot of discussion around the tax bill about whether tax cuts pay for themselves, and there's no question they do not. Tax cuts do grow the economy, but they don't grow it enough to make up for the lost revenue. And the problem with the tax bill that was passed, and I say this as someone who thinks tax reform was a very important priority we should have pursued, but because it was huge tax cuts, all the growth that was going to be generated from improving the tax code could be undermined by the increased levels of debt. So if you want pro-growth tax reform, which is what we should have had, we needed to offset it by getting rid of the over $1 trillion a year in tax breaks that we have. But once again, sort of demonstrating that politicians right now are not making hard choices. They did the tax cuts part, and they just dropped the reform part.
As you know, there are many economists who disagree with you and believe in some sense that deficits don't matter. Let's listen to one of them that we spoke with yesterday, economist Stephanie Kelton.
So you hear people say things like your share of the national debt, you know, every man, woman and child owes $60,000 in debt. This is really silly because the federal government's debt is not our obligation. It's not our liability. In fact, the federal government's debt is nothing more than the U.S. Treasury bonds that lots of people hold in their portfolios, and they consider them not their liabilities, but their assets.
What do you say to that argument?
If that were really true, then it would be great because we could spend more and more and we could cut taxes more and more, and it would just be great for the economy. So when something sounds too good to be true, it is true. The problem, of course, with increasing debt is that, one, it slows the economy. Two, it means that your interest payments in the budget are growing. And right now, our interest payments are one of the very fastest growing areas of the budget. So whether you're absolutely conservative and you want to cut taxes, or you're very progressive and you want to increase spending, if that money's going to interest payments, that is not money well spent. And ultimately, the excessive levels of debt lead to slower growth, which leads to a lower standard of living in the country. And so it's not as though the debt collector is going to come and say, you have to pay up on your share of the debt today. But it does mean that we are completely hamstringing ourselves, both during recessions, but also the next generation, when they want to figure out how to direct their own resources in the budget. And we've committed so much, certainly to a bunch of programs, but also to the interest payments on all the spending that we decided we didn't want to pay for. So it's an incredibly short-sighted and unfair approach. And it's damaging to us, and it's damaging to the future.
Well, you say that higher levels of debt can lead to slower growth. Couldn't a reduction in debt and maybe a cut in spending also lead to slower growth?
It depends on where you are in the business cycle, but a reduction in debt is overall going to lead to higher levels of growth. When you look at the models, what it shows, because it frees up more resources in the economy that are invested in productive ways. So if you put in place a debt deal, what the models tend to show, and it depends again where you are in the business cycle, it would have a negative effect on growth for a few years and then a positive effect on growth forever thereafter. So in many ways, I just think this reflects the short-sightedness of our political system right now and therefore our policies as a result, where if we were putting in place a medium or long-term comprehensive economic growth plan, which is what this country needs, a sound fiscal policy would be a part of it.
Do you think that in times of crisis, like the financial crisis that we had many years ago, that it makes sense to deficit spend?
I do. And I think that's exactly why you want to have a healthy fiscal situation, so that when you have a downturn or an emergency, you're not constrained and you're able to borrow to help stimulate the economy and deal with the contractionary effects that are going on from the recession. So in 2008, last time we had trillion-dollar deficits, that was a necessity. People can fight over whether the stimulus we had was the right or wrong stimulus, but it was really critical that we were able to borrow to respond to that crisis. And our debt relative to the economy back then was half of what it is today. So right now we're about to have trillion-dollar deficits completely self-imposed, not as the result of a downturn, but just as the result of not paying for things. That will make the next downturn, when again we should be borrowing, much more challenging to deal with.
Does it feel like you're fighting a losing battle right now? You're talking about a responsible federal budget, and we've been through a few months in the last few months when we've added hundreds of billions of dollars to the debt.
We're losing this at every opportunity to do something right. So we should have done comprehensive tax reform that it was either revenue neutral or preferably raised revenues. And now we should be doing a budget deal where we figure out what our spending priorities are and how to pay for those and how to reduce spending instead of increasing it. Though I would argue that we need to figure out the smart places for savings. We've been saving in all the wrong places in the past years. Instead, they opt to borrow more. And it's as though the only thing that gets done in a bipartisan manner right now, and the tax bill wasn't bipartisan, that was Republicans. But on the spending side, it seems like the only way you get a deal is one side says, well, I want this and not pay for it. And the other side says, okay, as long as I get this and not pay for it. And that is not a functioning government.
Well, are you surprised that Republicans haven't stepped up and said, we're really concerned, with the exception of some, like the House Freedom Caucus, but others have not gotten up there and said, we're concerned about this deficit?
Well, I think after we passed this huge tax bill that did blow up the deficit, it becomes harder for people to credibly, who voted for the tax bill, talk about how much they care about the deficit and debt. But I would have expected more of them to say, we don't want to spend more. Because there's two different points. There are those of us, and I put myself here, who care very much about the deficit and the debt and making sure that it makes sense for the economy. And it's not about bigger or smaller government. But even if you've kind of walked away from that issue, and I don't think we should have, there are a lot of Republicans who've been very committed to lower spending levels. So I'm certainly quite shocked to see how many of them seem to be on the verge of voting for a huge increase in spending.
And what do you make of the polling that shows that just under half of Americans now think that deficit and debt should be a top priority, compared with two-thirds of Americans just a few years ago?
Oh, I think that there's no question that this is an issue that doesn't move forward on the national agenda or get the kind of support it needs unless you have leadership from the top. And that means you have to have a president and you have to have members of Congress from both parties who are explaining just kind of directly to American voters why the short-term pleasure of not paying for anything ends up harming the economy in the longer run. And we don't have those voices right now talking about fiscal responsibility out of our political leaders from anywhere. And so if you keep telling people, you can have a free lunch, deficits don't matter, it's a pretty nice thing to grab onto and hope that it's true. But I think it's going to lead us to a pretty dismal situation down the road when all of this kind of we have to deal with the fiscal reckoning of having overborrowed for so long.
That's Maya McGuinness, who is president of the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. Maya, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.